We can discuss that on the podcast, how I should pop less.
Yeah.
Can we also discuss how weirdly Kurt Vonnegut's protagonist always seem to have sizable members? Because
I mean, they're all about him.
Welcome back to Zero Credits, the show where we talk about things. My name's Henry.
And my name's John.
And together, we're Henry and John.
Alright, what have you got for me today, Henry?
Well, you know, the first segment of the day is always...
Henry, let me stop you there.
What are we doing?
What we're doing today is...
You didn't let me say it.
Now, here's the thing.
What's going on?
We're entering a new age of the podcast, listeners.
We are?
An age of open advertisement, and with that brings along a whole host of problems.
Okay.
We can no longer run the slipshod operation we've been running up until this point.
What you're saying is we need to run a tight ship.
We need to tighten this ship up. Tighten the bulkheads, if you will. Now I'm going to let you keep your little what are you doing segment for sake of tradition, but I have a few ideas of my own I want to bring into the podcast.
John, why does it feel like you're dressed in a suit right now?
Look... We're just going through a period of restructuring, and as a public podcast, things have to change.
Did you sell stock in our podcast? Is there a board now that we have to run decisions by?
We'll talk about it.
What? No. Is there a contract I need to sign?
Listen, Henry. Just do your job.
What's your job? I thought we had the same job.
You do the first segment, and then you let me handle the other segments.
All of the other segments.
All of them.
Wow. Yeah, all right, well, here's the first segment. What the fuck are you doing, John?
So what are we doing, Henry?
No, what are you doing? You come in here with all your papers and your briefcase and you're saying you got to restructure. This is just a little mom and pop podcast. Like, we don't have overhead.
It used to be a little mom and pop podcast. We're out there now. We advertised.
I know. We both put one post on our Facebooks.
We both made Facebook posts, and that means we are now culpable for the success of this podcast. This can't be some little art collective anymore.
No, it could be exactly that. All of our listeners can join our art collective, and we can exchange knowledge and have fun and you know, be a very good time.
That was a great segment, Henry. Time to get into our next segment.
You've got a piece of paper! What?
Time to get into our next segment. Now see, one of the most important things that I've found in a popular podcast is they tend to start with kind of prompt questions from an audience or previous guests.
Okay, wait, we haven't had guests and we never talked to our audience.
True, and that's why I took our questions to the Cray supercomputer... At the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
You did what now?
I took our questions to a sophisticated question-generating robot to create our prompts.
So you're going to give the questions to the listeners right now?
No, I'm going to ask you the questions as asked by the Cray Mark II supercomputer.
I'm confused. So you fed questions into a computer and got questions back?
No, I walked up to the computer. Have you ever seen Jurassic Park?
Yes, with Newman.
So if you've ever read Jurassic Park, the Cray Mark II supercomputer is the kind that powers their research.
It's the one that with the, no. You didn't say the magic word.
No, that's a Unix system. The Cray 2 probably had a Unix system, I'm not sure. Anyway, I walked up to it, and I typed in the word questions, and this is what it gave me. Are you ready to talk about these?
Do I get a minute to prepare?
All right, collect yourself.
All right.
And then just make it normal, we'll just answer these totally off the cuff, we'll relax back into our normal mode of speaking, and then we can be asked a second question after we've sufficiently answered the first.
All right, I'm gonna just... There.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Question one by the Cray Mark II supercomputer. Why do they call it angel dust?
Why do they call it angel dust?
Why do they call it angel dust?
You felt so much pressure by advertising that you ran out, got some questions from a supercomputer, and now you want us to talk about why it's called Angel Dust.
Why is it called Angel Dust?
All right. We can do this.
Now, I'm assuming by Angel Dust that the Cray Mark II supercomputer is talking about PCP.
Well, it is a drug of some form, right?
Probably. I've never done nor bought Angel Dust.
Neither have I.
Though I do believe that is where the phrase, get dust, get dusted, comes from.
I've never heard that phrase.
I'm not sure I have either.
Oh, well, then why? Okay. So, Angel Dust. Is it because when you take the dust, you see angels?
Maybe. Or... See, my operating theory is it probably comes in the form of dust, and then they just attach like a positive connotation to it, because you don't attach like negative connotations to drugs. You never call weed like shitty grass.
Devil's weed?
That's a pretty that's cool a name. That is true.
Do angels have a positive connotation?
I mean, I think in the current view, in the mainstream view of angels, they probably do, as people with like wings and harps and shit, and not.
So we're not talking about the seraphim with the six pairs of wings, and the multiple eyes, and the gnashing teeth. And...
I did some research into the Angelorum at one point.
Oh yeah,
and they're like giant flaming wheels made out of eyes and shit. They're not humans.
I mean, the sword of Damocles is hanging over all of our heads.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why would we want to do angel dust unless we can get the power of angels by doing the dust?
Maybe that's what it is. They call it angel dust because, as is well documented in, like, TV and literature, PCP makes you powerful and strange like angels.
Yeah. Wait. Name one thing that doing PCP has been a part of.
One thing?
Like, okay, name one show or movie or book where a person does PCP.
You know, this doesn't speak to my credibility, but I seem to remember an episode of Family Guy where PCP is mentioned, and then something about tearing your own skin off. I don't know.
All right.
I do remember there was a story about a man who got high on PCP and attacked the police. And then they shot him in the penis and he wouldn't stop.
In the penis, you say?
In the penis. Straight in the penis.
And that didn't stop him?
No. So, PCP makes you unstoppable, like an angel.
You know what angels don't have, maybe?
What?
Genitalia?
I don't see a reason for them having it.
So, maybe it does make you more like an angel.
In that people will shoot your penis off.
And you won't stop because you're like an angel, and so that doesn't matter to you.
Perfect. I think we've satisfactorily answered the first of the Cray Mark II supercomputer's questions for us.
Now, I do want to sidetrack just for a second.
Oh, for sure.
There is a flower out there called Angel's Trumpet.
Yeah.
Which is highly hallucinogenic.
Okay.
Is that the word? Hallucinatory?
Hallucinogenic.
Hallucinogenic. And this flower, I don't know how you ingest it or anything like that. But you know the tearing your skin off thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Three guys in my hometown did some Angel's Trumpet, and one of them was...
I just have to appreciate for a second how much that sounds like a sentence that's in like a really weird cyberpunk novel.
Yeah. These punks are doing some Angel's Trumpet.
It sounds so right. But anyway.
He had slathered mayonnaise on his arm.
Yeah.
And surrounded it with bread.
Oh no.
And was eating a arm sandwich.
Oh no. That's terrible.
When asked what he was doing, he said, "I'm eating a ham sandwich."
Okay. At least he didn't say arm.
No, he didn't say arm.
I know someone who once smoked a bunch of Jimson weed and woke up naked, covered in scratches.
Were they his own scratches?
He was outside, so they were probably the scratches of nature.
Good band name.
The Scratches of Nature is a pretty good band name. You know, unrelated to anything that happened during the break, I once went on a collections call with this girl I knew who was some kind of loan agent for a spurious loan company. And it was very funny to watch how whenever she would knock on the door of any residence, she would always clearly give them 10 seconds to answer before knocking again, and then giving them 10 seconds to answer, and then returning, And it's such an awkward experience to see a human being on a clear mission approach this domicile of people who clearly don't want this person there.
Yeah.
It was also hilarious because she was legally a dwarf, which is, I believe, what you call it. She was 4'7", very, very short.
Dwarfism?
Yeah, very short. She didn't have it. She was just very, very, very short.
Oh, okay.
But she was very short and very skinny. And I don't know if it's the patriarchy making me say that it was funny to see her serving, like, warrants for loans and telling people that they need to pay up or they take their car away, these very intimidating individuals. Maybe it should have just... How brave of her.
She was brave.
She was brave, and she was paid pretty well for that position.
That's awesome.
So, the next question...
From the
Crane Mark II supercomputer. Let me just get my paper here.
It's very fancy.
Now, see, an issue with the Cray Mark II supercomputer is that sometimes it's very salient, it's very cogent. Sometimes it isn't.
Okay.
So, the next question is, do you combine or scatter hoop dreams?
Okay, wait, hold up. Do I combine or scatter hoop dreams?
Yes.
I think we need to start with hoop dreams.
All right.
What is a hoop dream to you?
So, to me, a hoop dream is, and I'm going based purely on the box art for a documentary.
Okay.
Which has an NBA jersey on it.
All right.
That hoop dreams are your dreams to one day play professional basketball.
Well, what do you know? That's the same conclusion I reached.
Fantastic. So,
what other... Unless, you know... Okay, here's the thing. When Tetris was popular, there was a Tetris syndrome that went around,
mm-hmm.
where you would see the puzzle and, like, play it in your sleep.
Yeah.
What if before that, the stick and a hoop, you would push a hoop with a stick?
And then you'd see that.
What if you saw that in your dreams?
And that was a hoop dream.
Hoop dream!
I suppose either interpretation could be used.
Let's agree that the NBA playing... fantasy.
Yeah, let's go with that.
So, do we what?
So, do you combine or scatter hoop dreams?
Now... Okay, so I think there's multiple ways to answer this.
Alright.
One of them is, like, from a place of authoritative power.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're not your hoop dreams.
Yeah, they're hoop dreams of others.
The hoop dreams of others, and it's like... Do you combine them? Do you support them by putting like-minded people together? Or do you scatter them by saying, well, education's more important than playing a little ball?
So if this question was asked of someone who, let's say, runs some kind of college university, you would say that they combine hoop dreams...
With other dreams, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, gosh. That's maybe. Another caveat.
That is.
My wheels are a-spinning...
Okay, let's break this down. I think maybe we can figure out what the Cray Mark II supercomputer at the Michigan Institute of Technology?
I think you said that.
Minnesota?
But then you said Jurassic Park.
Yeah, so the Cray Mark II supercomputer from the basement of Jurassic Park, it wants you to tell our listeners, not me.
Okay.
It wants us to tell our listeners... Do we support sports as an art form?
Oh, okay. I think that's an easy question to answer. Sports as an art form.
Like sports as a legitimate, meaningful pursuit.
Okay.
For humanity.
I listened to something recently that tried to explain sports as sort of an outlet for the primal bloodlust that the warrior class of humans would sort of, you know, get the urge to express.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no other real outlet for that urge that is legal.
Mm-hmm.
So in the regard that sports can be an outlet for this primal, if you want to posit this exists, like there were warrior classes of people, and through genetics or something, they pass down sort of this inclination to be violent or like a bloodlust. If you can sate that through sports, then maybe it's necessary to promote those sort of sporting endeavors.
So do you support the football purge?
So is that the yearly annual event where there's one game of football and all of the players are there and they can just kill anybody they want?
Yes.
I suppose. Wait, or is that just a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Poor Coldplay.
yeah, they you know, you think it's an honor to be on stage, but you don't realize you have to fight Peyton Manning.
It's their last performance for most of them.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, lead singer of The Who.
Don't know him.
I really did know his name before I started trying to remember it. Anyway, my own position on this is that I think... I thought about this for kind of a while, and I think that sport, like professional sports, is an extension of this purely human invention that we have called game. Because humans are essentially the only things on Earth that create structured, stringent games for their own enjoyment. It's a byproduct of our extreme intelligence.
Okay.
Because that's not me being conceited. Human beings are the smartest things on this planet by a wide margin.
I don't know. Dolphins?
Yeah, but do dolphins have a Super Bowl?
Probably.
You're so right.
Yeah, I thought for a second you were going to say like humans were the only things to play games, which I would have disagreed with.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right about the structured rules.
Yeah, we create structured, rule-based games that we then like codify. We have this idea that... I was thinking about this because I was playing recently the game Cornhole.
Cornhole's fun.
Where you throw bags into a hole in a board, and it's dumb. But the amount of complexity and math and skill that goes into this very simple game is huge compared to anything else in the animal kingdom. Like, I think there are a few dozen of these things that human beings have created just because we're so creatively / destructively intelligent.
Yeah.
We want to see effects on things. We want to create these stimulating experiences for ourselves because human beings are kind of insatiable for that kind of thing.
You're saying we crave rules?
I don't think we crave rules, but I think we crave challenges.
Are you a dictator?
Yes.
I knew it.
But no, I do think we want challenge. We want these things that... We want constant stimulation. We're the ADHD intelligence on Earth.
Yeah.
So I think that sport does help us. Does every facet of professional sports help us? No.
Well, see, the business side of sports is probably the downfall of sports. Mm-hmm. That, you know, all the promotion, all the glorifyingness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the just unfathomable amount of money that goes into all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That all we could probably, you know, put by the wayside.
Yeah, but I think the business of it comes out of the fact that this game thing that human beings do, like high-level gaming, is something that we really enjoy watching. We love this spectacle. We seek it out. We've been doing it essentially as long as we've congregated in groups.
It's true.
We want to watch people engage in games. We want to engage in games ourselves because we crave it, because it's the most like primal form of entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, like the gladiators of Rome.
And I don't know if that speaks to the warrior class in us, because does the warrior class in us want to play tic-tac-toe?
Well, see, that's not a sport.
I'm just saying, like,
it's just a game.
It's still a structured rule set.
But yes, because tic-tac-toe is one of the earliest forms of strategy you can teach people.
Maybe this whole primal warrior class thing is just because we crave competition.
That could be. Although, if you're like me, anytime you're in a competitive situation, you quickly start to lose sort of your patience and, you know, what keeps you a human, and start becoming more sort of animalistic.
For my part, people will often tell me that I seem very non-competitive. I am extremely competitive.
I shake. I can't handle it.
I have an overwhelming desire to be better than people at things. It's really a shame.
This past weekend, I visited my girlfriend and her family, and we played a little game called Catchphrase, which is this little CD player-sized thing, and you've got like a word on it, and you give hints about the word. And then you have to quickly pass it to the next person, and there's like teams and stuff, and it's so clunky, and like the passing, you can like you can mess with the other team and stuff, and it's just I got to the point where I'm like I can't even really hit the next button because like I'm just shaking because I'm like I gotta win, you know?
Yeah, it's the where games fall apart for me when I play them is the interface between myself and what I want to happen, like the thing that's between my mind and the intended outcome, like. I really find it hard to play games seriously that have randomness built into them.
Oh, yeah.
Like dice rolling. And it's fun, but it's like, this is not at all representative of the strategy I wanted. And then if you extrapolate, it's like, if you thought about the probability of it, you would have built it into your strategy, you would have thought two steps ahead, and it would be your strategy.
Yeah, that's like, you know, a game that we've both played before, Eldritch Horror.
Yeah, yes, Eldritch Horror, based on the works of H.P. Lovecraft, made by some game company. It's a board game.
Yeah. But you can do everything right in that game, except, like, but it, if you just roll poorly once or twice,
yeah,
that really sets up the entire game for failure.
I mean, we played a game not too long ago that went on for the better part of 5 hours, and we failed it about a quarter of the way through.
Yeah.
Most of the people there recognized that it had happened.
And we kept playing because we're what, sadomasochists?
I think we kept playing because we thought we could, like, pull it back from the brink.
Now, this past Saturday, I played another game of Eldritch Horror. And, there were just four of us there. And,
I would have played, but I was too busy performing in front of people.
I had things to do.
In a foreign city.
Yeah, good for you. Here, here. Oh, good for you. Does this make you feel any better? Anyway, we lost at the last minute.
Nice.
Of a 6-hour game.
Nice. Does that mean I get a chance to beat that monster?
Yeah, we don't move on from Shub Shub until Sweet. It's dead.
Cannot wait.
But anyway, just goody goody gumdrops, man.
So anyway, I think that went well. For the first of our experimental segments, I think it went pretty well.
I want to time out and say, like, you added a bunch of, like, structure and rules to this little game of podcasting we do.
And don't you, the listeners, love it?
If you do, let us know.
If you do, subscribe on iTunes.
Or just... you can comment on iTunes, right?
Comment that you love it.
Yeah, comment on iTunes.
Comment with the sentence, I love structure.
And then hashtag it, Blumkiss.
Perfect. Don't spell it for them. I want to see how they choose to spell it.
All right, that's awesome.
So our next segment...
Oh, so you've got more segments than just the Super Cray computer.
Oh, that was the introductory segment.
No, the introductory segment is what are we doing?
All right.
Why do you not like my segment?
So the next segment I also find that in very popular podcasts, what people tend to do is it relies on their experience as performers, as actors.
Aren't we supposed to be zero credits?
So what we're doing today, we are zero credits. And I'm going to go to Wikipedia on my phone.
And just hit random page.
I'm going to hit random page. Now, you might say, well, that's perfect. Zero credits. We'll just talk about this random thing. Untrue.
Okay.
What is in fact happening, Wikipedia's mobile site is...
really dumb.
Different than I thought.
Good luck finding the random page button.
You're so right.
I contacted them. I knew you were going to do this. And I was like, disable it.
God so damn it.
John can't do his master plan.
Damn it, Henry.
You can just go in the browser. Oh, wait. Just take the M out of the website.
Here we go.
Oh, okay.
Never mind.
What?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
So John hasn't planned for what if his little segments go awry, and it's slowly eating him up inside that this is happening, that... his little plan is falling apart, and as the order pair, you know, I'm the chaos, he's the order. I'm just eating this up, it's delicious. And there's nothing he can do about it, and it's great. He's just gonna keep making little dumb... That sounded vaguely like a Coldplay song.
Alright, so the first random Wikipedia article we have is... the discography of the band We Are Scientists.
Oh, that's, you know, with a statement like that, they must be fun for hour.
So, I'm not going to read anything about this article, and we are going to have a free-form discussion.
On We Are Scientists.
Their discography. However, I am pulling on our extensive improv backgrounds, and this entire segment will be conducted within what I like to call the alphabet game.
Oh, no. John, why are you evil?
Every sentence beginning... Let's say I say a sentence that's like, all We Are Scientists songs are good. Henry would then have to say a sentence beginning with the letter B, such as...
But John, you're an idiot.
And then we would continue throughout the alphabet.
I hate you.
All right, so...
This is the worst. I did not agree to this.
Once we get to Z, the segment ends.
All right.
Here's my first sentence.
You've got all the knowledge in front of you.
I'm not reading any of it.
You looked at it. I saw you.
So...
You're looking at it again, turning off your phone.
First sentence.
All right.
Are you a fan of We Are Scientists?
But John, I've never heard of them. Or any of their music.
Crazy that you should say that. Neither have I.
Don't you know it's a bad idea to talk about things you don't know about?
Everybody knows it's fun to talk about things you don't know things about.
Friends and family gather around us to hear about us talking about things we don't know about.
God, that's a great observation.
Hey, what do you know? I just have happened to listen to a We Are Scientists song just now, in the space between our two sentences, and it was okay.
I would love to hear your additional thoughts on it.
Just kidding! There's no way in hell that I could have pulled that off!
Kidding! Classic Henry.
Look, I think this segment is going okay, only if we edit out that pause that just happened. No, John, you have to say a full sentence.
Oh, I didn't know I had to say a full sentence about We Are Scientists' discography, which is great, by the way, even though I've never heard it.
Pull your head out of your ass and listen to some We Are Scientists music right now.
Quiet while I listen.
Uranium fever. That's a good one, right? That's not the next letter of the alphabet. QR. Right?
So right.
True.
Uranium Fever is my favorite song by the band We Are Scientists.
Very good. So good. No, I was right. Very good. Fuck you.
Well, good for you.
X-Ray Mania is also pretty good.
You know, I don't think that's a song of theirs, but since we're coming to the end of the segment, I'm going to assume it is.
Zoologist, probably a better band, but, you know, We Are Scientists, not bad.
And that concludes our segment, Alphabet Game Random Wikipedia Article. Oh, I forgot to include the name of this.
You did.
Meaningless Artifice. The name of that segment is Meaningless Artifice.
That's not going to be a weekly thing, right?
Probably.
It's not gonna be? That's probably not gonna be? I hate Alphabet Game Man.
So how are you, Henry?
I'm doing alright.
Well, that was fun.
Sure.
So, what do you want to talk about?
Well, that's just mean, because I don't have anything prepared like you do.
Well, that's fair.
Hey, John, let me ask you a question.
Go for it.
How are you feeling?
I'm all right. I have a bit of a dry cough. I'm pretty sure the podcast listening audience has picked up on that a little bit.
I think you've actually contained your cough quite well.
Thank you. I was a mess.
John!
Look at what you did to the waveform, Henry.
John, I just complimented you on your cough and you just did that?
Look at the waveform!
I know! Look what you did to the waveform, John, with your cough!
You know, here's something I've been thinking about a lot. Excuse me. Here's something I've been thinking about a lot lately.
What's up, John?
So I've been doing comedy in front of people a lot, or at least in a slightly more high-profile way than I have been.
Okay.
Why did
you do that?
Why does anyone? Why comedy?
I think you you posted a status on your Facebook the other day by a certain TJ Miller.
Yes.
And it was something about how psychologists are shit, but comedians are gods.
I don't think it was psychologists are shit. Like, he was making the point, psychologists can help people for all of their life, but you can only help about 300 to 1,000 if you're really prolific.
Yeah.
But comedians can help hundreds and hundreds of people, but for 15 minutes to an hour.
Yeah,
it's just a different way of helping people, of lifting them out of their fundamentally tragic existence, is the words he used.
Yeah, and so that's one reason why to do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason is because it's fun.
It's really fun, and I kind of hate it.
Why do you hate it?
I hate that it's fun. I hate that, like, when this thing happened in this distant city that I can't tell you about, when I was being introduced, I got, like, super nervous, and I don't know if I've ever been that nervous.
I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone, when they're getting introduced, gets nervous. I think it's, like, human nature.
Yeah.
Because the person who is introducing is always, you know, building up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they've flown all this way. They've done all this work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote reviews for them and the this and the that. And, you know, here they are now to do the thing that they were famous.
Yeah.
You know, the thing they did to get famous.
Mm-hmm. I think definitely because it's a very specific feeling. And I like to liken nervousness, like the kind of excited nervousness before, like, a performance. Or you, I don't know, cross a weird rickety bridge over the Grand Canyon. Like, that kind of nervousness is like throwing up, because it's something your body does naturally that is beneficial. It's just, we didn't evolve to find it pleasant.
Yeah.
I think nervousness is very, very helpful. Like, feeling nervous before I do something makes me better at it. Because it feels almost like my body is preloading that energy, mm-hmm, to then redirect that energy into something meaningful.
It's priming your fight or flight, you know,
mm-hmm,
instinct. But in this case, the fighting is different, you know. Mm-hmm. Fighting when you do comedy is just being good at being funny.
Mm-hmm.
And flighting would be, you know, leaving, not doing the comedy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the same. It's adrenal glands and all that.
One of the things that I always noticed is I used to be a very timid person when it came to life experiences as a whole. But then when I started to do more stuff outdoors, I would feel this, like, intense nervousness about doing it. And I would identify that feeling of nervousness used to be what made me not do things, because it's an unpleasant feeling. But then I noticed that if you get over that and then use that nervous energy, it's not... your body's not sending signals to your brain to not do something. It's just something that you're not used to, yeah, so you run away from it. It's just a new sensation.
Everything is conditioning.
I mean, learning to be afraid is really important.
Fear is not the mind killer, but the mind apter. Makes your mind apt.
Apt? What?
Apt.
Apt. The mind apter.
Yeah.
Mind raptor.
I kept swallowing the tea there.
Mind raptor.
The mind raptor.
But I can agree with that. Nervousness and fear are things that I've had to learn to cope with. And it's... my life's a lot better now that I can do that.
Yeah. Cool.
Sweet. How do you feel about nervousness? When's the last time you felt, like, super nervous?
Probably any time that I'm forced to sing in front of people.
Oh, that's one of the most stressful things you can do.
Yeah, like, you know, in this comedy group that we're both in,
mm-hmm,
sometimes we have these musical practices because they want to do a musical show. And I can sing in the shower all day.
Yeah.
But it's because the things I sing in the shower are dumb and no one's judging them.
Mm-hmm.
Singing for an audience, so many multiple factors of being judged, you know. Mm-hmm. Tone, pitch, whatever, musical stuff, and then also your words need to make sense.
Mm-hmm. I remember, who landed the lunar lander? Buzz Aldrin?
Zero credits.
Zero credits. Let's say Buzz Aldrin. Ooh. So, no? Anyway.
It was Alan Shepard.
Shit.
I'm kidding.
Anyway, whoever landed the lunar lander and did the maneuvering for it, I remember that when I read a paper... less a paper and more a slightly interesting article that said, you know, when Buzz Aldrin or whoever was landing the lunar lander, his heart rate reached 155 beats per minute. And that's comparable to someone who has to like go out and sing opera in front of an audience. Like the level of nervousness is the same because people generally think that nervousness comes when there's like something physical, like pain or death on the line. But I think that pain or death are, they're definitely on the line. Like you think about them, but it's being true to yourself and being the person you want to be, performing the way you want to perform in a situation is more important than that.
Well, and in the case of performing, sometimes it's a different type of pain or death. It's it could be the death, the social death.
Yeah.
You do something in front of so many people that you socially are dead.
I mean, if you've ever done something in front of a group of more than 100 people and had it not be received the way you wanted, it felt like dying.
Yeah.
It's awful because we're so ingrained to seek approval, and it doesn't magnify if there are greater numbers of people.
And that's why they call it liquid courage.
Glug, glug, glug.
Well, we don't have any tonight, but...
We don't.
That's one of the things. Before you have to give a presentation, have, like, you know, not a lot, but a little bit of whiskey.
Mm.
It loosens you up, and so it quiets down that nervousness and that fear, and you perform pretty much at the same level, unless, you know, you're a raging alcoholic and you don't stop at that first sip.
I mean, there have been people that I've known who do comedy who, especially early on, could not deal with the nervousness, so they drank before doing any kind of performance, and then it became something that they depended on, and then they couldn't perform as well anymore when they weren't drinking. It just like fed on itself.
Yeah,
that's scary.
Risk of dependency and all anything that makes life easier, you can get addicted to.
I mean, psychological addictions are more powerful than physiological addictions in my book.
Really?
I do think that a strong psychological addiction to something is so much harder to break than, say, smoking. But smoking is like maybe 60% psychological, 40% physiological.
I think addiction is hard to beat no matter what.
Oh yeah, it's one of the hardest things to beat.
Yeah. You know what's weird? People talk about video game addiction.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, I always get bored of a game before I can get addicted to it.
I always get bored of most things before I can get addicted to them.
Maybe that's like a built-in safety mechanism.
Maybe. I smoked for the better part of 3 months and I never got addicted to it. I just kind of got bored of smoking.
You smoked?
Yeah, for like 3 months, four
what?
Months.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were evil.
I was.
Wow.
And now I'm even more off. Yeah.
That was a quote from Scott Pilgrim.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I really butchered my own personal quote from John right there at the end.
Oh, no. I think you did exactly what you wanted to do. Are you nervous, John?
I didn't. My heart rate is 100.
Drink all the whiskey!
Glug, 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 glug.
John, stop coughing.
I can't. There's whiskey.
Oh, well. You shouldn't talk and drink at the same time.
So, I think, before we wrap up...
Yes?
...that I should introduce... So, here's the unfortunate thing, listeners. We are now a public podcast, as we have discussed.
Yeah, you mentioned it at the top.
Now, we do have certain responsibilities now, and... Part of that responsibility is we do have shareholders.
Okay, if you say so.
We have shareholders, and another unfortunate thing about shareholders that... So, I don't want to bore you with all the rigmarole. I've taken the business end of the podcast for myself. I handle it. You worry with your artistic concerns.
Can I worry about... Are you getting paid? Is that... Are you making money? Because I'm not.
Well, in the future, hopefully, you will be included.
What? No. We are 50-50 partners.
So, I went ahead and I held the first shareholders meeting of Zero Credits.
Why wasn't I there?
Look, you don't need to worry about it. This is just a whole bunch of business rigmarole.
Stop Zuckerberging me!
Look, you don't want to have to deal with all of this. You really don't.
I helped you found this company,
and
I demand to be a part of the comings and goings.
You totally will be. You just don't have to worry about the boring stuff. Just worry about...
Is the boring stuff how many decimal points are behind my... Well, no, it's only two.
Just worry
how
about...
How many zeros are in my paycheck?
Look, you just worry about, like, your books... You know,
just pay me.
Just leave this to me.
John, if you steal money from me, I swear to our listeners that I will make this uncomfortable.
I will never illegally steal money from you. Anyway, so the minutes from the first zero credit shareholder meeting were interesting because, as you know, we are a fairly new podcast.
Yes, of course.
So also the unfortunate thing about it is that we didn't have any shareholders at the meeting.
Oh, that's interesting.
But we do have questions.
From the shareholders?
Well, no, we have questions from shareholders, but they aren't ours.
Wait, so whose shareholders are they?
So let's just dive into the questions and just get these concerns out of the way so that this can proceed as smoothly as possible and people can have faith in the Zero Credits brand.
All right.
So the first question, this was kind of an uncomfortable one. So what can Zero Credits do to promote GMOs?
What's a GMO?
A genetically modified organism.
So like super corn.
Yeah, like super corn. Let's say super corn. What can we do to promote super corn?
I guess we could talk about it on the show.
Super corn.
You want to do a commercial for super corn?
Sure. I just want them to know that we can promote GMOs if they feel like that would increase the value that they get out of our firm.
All right. Well, let's do a little commercial.
All right. I'll set it up for you.
All right.
You're on the windswept fields of Nevada.
Great.
You're standing in front of a super corn orchard.
Okay.
And just take it away. Camera's rolling.
All right. Here we go. Super corn commercial. Take one.
Clapboard.
Oh, it's just another lovely day out here in the super corn orchard.
You can say that again, Pa.
Oh, little Timmy, I didn't see you there. Behind all the big bushels of corn.
I'm just tall enough to reach the top of super corn.
There's so much corn here that, you know, you look like you could be one of them.
Aw, shucks.
And you know the best thing about super corn, little Billy?
Yeah?
It doesn't poison you.
It doesn't poison you. It's fucking huge.
Yeah, you could mistake your son for corn.
You could mistake your son for corn and lose him for 3 years.
All right, I'm going to pick you up, little Billy, so I don't lose you. Pluck.
You're just picking up some corn.
All right, little Billy, I'm walking away.
Oh, no.
Got my corn and a super corn. You lose your son to super corn.
All right, that's perfect.
All right, so we can do that.
I really think that our listeners got the idea.
Yeah.
So, I think we just knocked that one out of the park.
You know.
So let's just dive right into the next one.
All right. You're the business.
No, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on this one.
All right.
When will Zero Credits genuinely support its workers? We can skip this one. Like,
wait,
no. We don't have to talk
Hold
about
up,
We don't have to talk about this one.
Why not? I'm one of the workers
of Zero
Credits.
I don't think
it's
important.
To support the workers?
I mean, I think there are greater concerns.
There is one question.
Okay.
What do you classify yourself as?
I classify myself as a... I guess I could say I'm a worker.
Yeah? You're not like management or something like that?
I mean, I'm a chief executive officer, which is a kind of worker.
Am I a chief executive officer right next to you?
Henry, you just don't have to worry about it.
What? No! We demand! All of me demands to be equal to you!
Look, you have a...
It's 2016.
It is 2016.
We can be equal.
You have 50% of the podcast.
What do you have 50% of?
I have 50% of the podcast.
All right.
And 90% of the company.
What, 90% of the company?
Okay, it's... When we did our initial public offering, I just bought up all the stock.
When was the public offering?
Yesterday.
Oh, did you tell me to be there?
No.
Why not?
I just figured you had...
Give me 45% of your stock.
45% of my stock?
So neither of us are the prime... The most shareholder.
Listen, I think we'll just move on to the next
question.
I
hate you.
So,
God.
When will Zero Credits stop marketing to children with Ronald McDonald?
We don't have Ronald McDonald. I don't think we own him.
So, I think the answer is immediately.
Okay, that's fair.
So, I think that we will stop advertising to children using... the visage of Ronald McDonald starting immediately.
Yeah,
so you can be sure that the value created by the Zero Credits brand is paramount.
Just like the pictures.
Why does Zero Credit stop selling certain items, such as its grilled chicken items, after 10 p.m.?
Okay, wait. That's a very personal question. I don't feel comfortable answering this so that they can hear it.
Look, they're our shareholders. We have...
Our listeners are our shareholders? I thought you... But there weren't any shareholders at the meeting.
No, they weren't at the meeting, but they're out there. There are laws, Henry. We have to disclose this to our shareholders.
I just don't feel comfortable discussing why we don't sell grilled chicken products after 10 p.m.
Do you want to be hanged in front of the SEC? No.
Do you want to be hanged? So, I mean, if I don't answer it, it's on you. You own 90% of the company. You're fiscally responsible for me.
I don't eat meat, so I really can't answer this question.
I don't grill things, so I don't know why we're even talking about
it. I think that bag of chicken fajitas in your garbage would disagree.
It's just heating it up. It comes pre-grilled.
Oh, we are gonna get fucking crucified, Henry.
Look, I don't sell anything to nobody.
Okay. Then why do we stop selling it after 10 p.m.? Because we never sold it in the first place.
I actually used a double negative, sorry.
You can't never stop selling chicken.
All right. Fine, I'll keep the window open.
No.
The chicken window.
You can't never stop selling chicken.
Well, I don't know what that means because I don't learn no good.
After 10 p.m., don't sell...
That means you've got like 7 minutes left.
I don't know what people want.
I don't know what you want with these questions.
Does this person want grilled chicken?
Who's this person?
It's a shareholder.
They didn't go to the meeting. How
it's
they
not
post?
Our shareholders. It's our shareholder.
I don't understand.
So, okay. Here's our final question.
Okay.
Why did Zero Credits
you almost messed up.
Sell Chipotle in 2006?
Why did we sell Chipotle?
Why did we sell Chipotle in 2006?
We didn't exist in 2006.
That's why we sold it. Because we didn't exist.
We were founded in like late 2015.
This shareholder was clearly confused and also at a different shareholders meeting.
Where did you even get these
the
questions?
The one I'm talking about.
What did you crash another shareholders meeting to get these questions?
I am not comfortable answering that.
You have to or else we get crucified in front of the SEC.
This has nothing to do with money. The SEC doesn't give a shit.
Oh, they care about how your comings and goings.
I may have sat in on a McDonald's shareholder meeting.
Yeah, that's quite obvious.
And cribbed these questions.
You cribbed them.
I may have used them as inspiration.
But we don't sell, like, any food.
Well...
We're a podcast.
Even better, you can be assured, Zero Credit shareholders, that we do not sell food. And we are, in fact, a podcast.
All right, I don't know why you put quotes around all of those things, because that's very suspicious.
We do not sell food. We're a podcast.
You keep doing that, and what is your motive here?
Look, Henry, we don't sell food.
Now you're just putting air quotes around food.
We don't... Listen, we just don't sell food.
I know we don't sell food. What do we sell?
We are a podcast.
Okay, you can't put air quotes just around pod. I don't know what that means.
Look, I think we're done with the business for today, and I think we can just tidy up, wrap a bow on this in about 20 minutes or so.
All right. I am not comfortable with the fact that apparently I'm not getting paid.
You're not getting paid yet.
Are you getting paid yet?
No.
You winked. You winked at the microphone. That doesn't play.
Shareholders, wait. Okay, write down the minutes. I did not wink.
Oh, no.
Strike the winking from the minutes.
No, he winked. He wonked.
I did not wink.
He winkly
wonked. I don't know what you're talking about. I was not addressing you.
I'm seeing what's... I'm opening his...
Please don't do this. Look, you don't need to worry about it.
Actually, oh, this is, okay. All right. You have covered your topics.
All right.
John.
Thank God you didn't look on the reverse side.
Why would I look on the reverse side, John?
Exactly, why would you? Because you don't have to worry about it.
Here's a time-honored question.
Yes.
How was your Valentine's Day?
It was all right.
Cool.
I was very tired and hungover for half of it.
That's, you know, what you do.
And then I got my girlfriend some flowers and chocolate in a super traditional way.
Awesome.
But other than that, it was fun. I didn't get back to town until like 6 o'clock at night.
Really?
It took. It was a very long drive.
Wow.
It was not fun.
Yeah, it doesn't sound fun.
But other than that, I think it was all right. You know, Valentine's Day
isn't really a holiday. It's
right around the corner.
What?
And I think
we should mark it.
I think since Valentine's Day is right around the corner, our listeners would be interested in popping over to flowersformeandmyvalentine.com and entering the promo code 0 credits in all lowercase letters to get beautiful flowers, edible arrangements delivered to your home or office for only $19.99, $10 less than usual.
Hey, John.
Yes.
You sharing any of the sponsorship money you got going on?
What sponsor? I just really like this company.
I'm sorry, but there's a promo code and they're getting a discount? That sounds like we're getting a kickback or something.
No, this is just a favor.
A favor?
It's a favor.
Why, okay, can we discuss favors you're doing for companies before you just put them on the podcast?
So I'm just doing this company a favor by telling you to go for flowersformeandmyvalentine.com to order a beautiful edible arrangements or some Moroccan delights and use the promo code 0 credits in all lowercase letters.
You know, I just find it fascinating that you found the perfect time and topic to plug your sponsorship. You didn't know I was going to ask about Valentine's Day. Do you have an arsenal of sponsorships and you just pick one to plug every now and then?
It's a favor, Henry.
Oh, well, isn't that all well and good?
Speaking of plugs.
Oh, don't you dare.
Can you ever not find a place to plug in your...
Stop it.
Okay, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Speaking of fine, I'm doing mine. You back off.
My hands are up.
All right.
I shall not lay blows upon you for this.
Okay, good. Here it goes. I just have some copy right here that I gotta read, and I'm gonna unfold it.
That's a lot of paper.
Well, it's simple. Don't worry. Are you guys feeling final? Then you should get some vinyl. Here at Vinyl Stuff, we do... it's not a really good company.
Vinyl Stuff isn't a good company?
No.
This is a very terrible sponsorship.
I mean, they wrote, say, Vinyl Stuff on your podcast, and we will give you a record.
I really wish they hadn't made the copy out of vinyl.
You know, it was really hard to unfold.
It sounded really weird, too.
Yeah.
It did not sound like paper.
Look, I'm not a business person, per se, but maybe you can shut up.
Have you ever considered that Kurt Vonnegut tends to say that his...
Oh my god.
...protagonists have very large members?
Yes, John. I talked to you about this earlier. Breakfast of Champions,
Breakfast of Champions is really explicit with it.
You get everyone's measurements.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, girls, you get everything. And you know what? They're all very endowed. Everyone across the board. It's really weird.
Almost cartoonishly.
Yeah. And then it happens again in Slaughterhouse-5, you get, well, it's less explicit. It's more just, this character is surprisingly well hung.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, what do we need to know that?
Do you think he just does it for like a comedic beat? Because Breakfast of Champions was later in his writing career, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe he kept using it as a comedic beat and then making it so explicit, like down to... units of measurement in Breakfast of Champions was his way of acknowledging that that had been something that he had been doing throughout his books.
It could be. I do think feel like it was like over the top in Breakfast of Champions because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a culmination of a bunch of different things he's been doing throughout his entire career.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's weird. Maybe he's just highlighting how funny it is that, you know, people have genitalia of different sizes.
I thought you were saying how funny it is that people have genitalia, which...
That too.
Let's be honest, it's pretty funny.
That's hilarious.
Except that guy who was on PCP.
Yeah, no, that guy, oh my gosh.
He does not have genitals anymore.
He's angel-like now.
Also, no angels have genitals.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Wasn't the thing about Sodom and Gomorrah that someone had sex with an angel?
I'm pretty sure Sodom and Gomorrah was just every sex act under the sun.
Okay.
You have ever heard of a donkey show?
No.
Yeah, good. Because they turned into pillars of salt.
Where was Lot from, speaking of pillars of salt?
Lot was from Lot 47. I don't know.
Oh, The Crying of Lot 49, the Thomas Pynchon novel.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
And then Lot said, don't look back on the works of Thomas Pynchon, Lot's wife, or you will turn into a pillar of salt.
Oh, Lot was from Sodom.
There we go. Back to it. Yeah. Okay. Where was he from? Gomorrah.
He's one pretty... The towns are basically the same.
They're both shitty towns.
It's like, you know, they started as two towns and they grew up, you know, they grew so much, they were basically the same town.
I saw this somewhat interesting thing on Facebook today, which is a great place to get your insightful things from.
That's not true.
Where there was a quote from the Bible describing Sodom and Gomorrah as these uncaring places with an abundance of food that don't care for the poor.
Yeah.
And there was a picture of a dumpster full of pastries. So, I don't know. Are we Sodom and Gomorrah? Does anything matter?
Today?
Yeah.
I think we're all pillars of salt. You know, I saw a picture of a dumpster that was placed in a bigger dumpster.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I saw a video of a dumpster today being shredded.
Like in a paper shredder?
No. Like in a massive industrial shredder.
Why?
Why did I watch it, or why was it being shredded?
Why was it being shredded?
For recycling reasons.
What do they do with it?
I guess they turned it into a new dumpster. Sunrise Sunset Dumpster.
Oh, poor dumpster.
Man, that's an awful karmic wheel.
Yeah.
Just started life as a dumpster, then just kept on being a dumpster.
Get reborn as a dumpster.
What if karma, like the wheel of samsara, this whole process of reincarnation,
that's the word,
was just like cosmic recycling?
It kind of is.
They take these energies and they turn them into energies that are like better suited.
You know, energy cannot be created nor destroyed, it can only be transformed.
It's true. That's one of the laws of thermodynamics,
I believe. So
all right. But it's like, hey, this guy, his energies would better be served as a rat. And he's more as a rat.
And then if you're a good rat, you get promoted to a cat.
Is that true? Cats should only get demoted. There has never been a good cat. Cats are monsters.
The alley cats?
What?
I don't know.
The Aristocats?
Heathcliff?
Oh, Heathcliff was pretty nice.
Garfield?
That one cat that sang Streetwise Savoir Faire in that one Disney movie? Was that a cat or a dog?
Cats don't dance.
Cats don't dance.
Felix the Cat.
Felix the Cat.
That was one of my favorite.
Fritz the Cat.
Who's Fritz?
He's a adult comic character from like the 60s or 70s.
Howard the Duck?
Howard the Duck.
That's not a cat.
He's not.
No.
I never really got Howard the Duck.
I never. Either.
I never Howard. Not even once. Not even once Howard the Duck.
You know what they say about Howard the Duck?
No, I don't.
They say,
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Howard the Duck, I saw Deadpool.
I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't get a chance.
It was good.
That's what people have been saying.
That's...
Crushing them rated R box office records.
So, let me break aside here for a new impromptu segment.
Oh, you just need...
Called John's Inclusive Movie Review.
So, I had to leave the room or something?
No. Just hang tight.
He's inclusive, meaning... Oh, not exclusive.
I saw Deadpool.
No, you can't talk about it. I didn't see it.
It was good. What did you think of it, Henry?
I didn't get to see it.
Then that has been John's Inclusive Movie Review.
Oh,
I give it 4 out of 5 stars.
Why did you, like, twitch before you said stars?
I have a tick.
You can't say stars without ticking?
So Deadpool was good. You should go see it.
I will. As soon as someone pays for my ticket.
That's a rough row to hoe, getting other people to pay for your tickets.
Yeah.
I always pay for my own tickets. Never pay for my girlfriend's ticket, though, because I do sometimes. I don't know, going Dutch is weird. You ever think about that?
Going Dutch?
Like,
the term going Dutch is weird.
Yeah.
But what do you mean?
Going Dutch, you know, splitting things between people. Like
splitting dinner is okay.
Yeah.
But splitting tickets, you're just buying your own ticket.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, like, the idea of paying for things yourself has this weird social stigma, when in fact it shouldn't.
Well, the thing is, you're the man of the relationship.
Yeah.
And it's 2016, so you have to provide?
Oh, right, I forgot.
That's weird. Eliminate the wage gap, yes. But then eliminate the social pressure on the male of the date to pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's bullshit.
I mean, I think about it every time, and that when I go to dinner and I pay for my own food and girlfriend, who shall remain unnamed until a future date.
Her name's girlfriend.
Pays for her own food.
Yeah.
I feel bad about it because I was raised in an environment that told me that that should not be the case. And I have had girlfriends before. Most of the girlfriends I've ever had, I paid for basically everything for them.
The way me and my unnamed girlfriend do it, as we kind of just trade off, like, I'll get dinner this time, you get dinner the next time.
Yeah.
And it's usually based on whoever has got paid more recently.
Ooh, not such a good job stifling the cough that time.
No. In fact, that one was the most egregious. Those earlier ones were...
Anyway.
Why did you do that to me? You held up a finger and made me stop talking.
Because I was going to edit out the cough, but now I can't.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, now that I can't edit out that cough...
No, you totally still can. Just take all this out.
Don't worry, I'll get it. Anyway, going Dutch, da-da-da. It does certainly make me feel bad to not pay for my girlfriend's food or movie tickets or anything like that. And it always... It evokes in me this kind of disquiet every time we get... Because of this, it's impossible to go out and have a date somewhere and not feel bad in some way over money. Because if you pay... You feel good, you get that warm glow altruism, like, hey, I helped. But then you think, that's shitty of me to feel like I need to help because she's perfectly capable of doing it herself, and I don't know if she feels demeaned by this, I don't know if she's actually grateful because societal pressures make her say she's grateful.
Yeah.
And then if... Because I know, for my part, and this is... It's not the same dynamic at all, because it's... Inverting a gender role doesn't always mean that you feel the same way the other gender would feel.
Yeah.
But whenever she has paid for my things, I say I'm grateful and I feel grateful, but that's about 20%, and the rest of the 80% is like guilt.
No! Whenever anyone pays for anything for me, I am super stoked the entire rest of my life.
That must be great. I'm consumed with guilt.
See, whenever I spend money, I feel terrible.
Same. So, no, every time I spend... Okay, so let me tell you something I did.
What did you do? Oh,
I was studying a lot yesterday.
Studying a lot yesterday.
So I felt the need to feel alive. So I loaded up my Amazon cart with a Bowie knife, a blowgun kit with a target and darts, and a dartboard, like the ones you find in bars.
Okay.
I managed to cancel the Bowie knife and the blowgun in time, and I still bought a dartboard.
John.
I don't know why.
You know what
I just like spending money when I feel sad.
You know what happens to me? I check my bank account, feel sad, and then I never buy anything again.
Yeah. That'll happen to me in a little bit. I go through these periods of relative largesse, and then when I don't have any money, I'm just, like, mixing flour together with tap water and just eating it like gruel.
Yep. Yeah, for me, it's the shredded cheese left over from my fajitas just on leftover tortilla shells, and that's a meal.
I have a tendency to, when I get... very poor and hungry, I will cook up large batches of rice.
Yeah.
And make tortillas, and then I will make burritos
of rice.
I will make burritos that are just rice and sriracha.
Oh my god.
And just eat those. I'm like, this is food.
This is food.
This is fine.
Oh, you know, maybe we shouldn't. There are people who are worse off than us. We should.
Oh, absolutely.
We should.
But
be
once
grateful.
Again, suffering is relative.
Your mother.
My mother is also suffering, and is also my relative. Da blah 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 blah. That's my wacky noise.
I'm frightened.
We discussed this.
We're not on the podcast.
We discussed this in the car ride over.
I know. We damn, yeah, it's the car ride over.
So, anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah, people are worse off than us, but suffering is relative.
Does that mean we can never feel bad about ourselves?
Essentially, yes.
Cool. So shut up about you and your dumb little problems about paying your girlfriend's way through movies.
But no, once again, suffering's relative. You know, you can't say there are children starving in Africa, so you can't feel bad. It's like, eh, our spectrums of life experience are completely different.
But people only say people are starving in Africa to get you to eat those carrots that you don't want to eat.
Oh God, I hate carrots.
Do you actually hate carrots?
I really don't like carrots. I love, look, I'm a vegetablearian, and I love vegetables. I hate carrots.
But carrots are the best vegetable.
They're not.
Yes, they are.
So, here's something that I made. I made a vegetarian meatloaf last night.
Gross.
It was delicious, actually.
What was it made out of? Carrots?
It was made out of textured vegetable protein.
Nobody knows what that
onions,
is.
Onions, carrots, a binding agent.
What about GMO super corn?
A little bit of vital wheat gluten. And that was it, and it was delicious. And ketchup. A shitload of ketchup.
Oh, that's gross.
Ketchup glaze on a meatloaf? Come on.
I know, I did. Yeah.
Do you not like ketchup glaze?
I do like ketchup glaze on a beef meatloaf.
Look, it's textured vegetable protein.
I don't know what that is. It's not real.
Look, meat doesn't have a flavor. It's just seasoning.
No, meat has flavor.
Meat has no flavor.
Meat has so much flavor.
Take a bite out of a...
Any meat product.
Take a bite out of a chicken breast with no seasoning. Tell me it has flavor.
Well, that's chicken breast. And you need dark meat for that to have flavor.
All right. We agree to disagree.
John, you've had steak.
I have had steak.
Steak has flavor.
Steak's delicious.
Okay.
That's...
I will fight you.
The one thing I miss.
Well, good.
I really miss steak.
Don't worry, one day we'll grow cows.
And then I'll eat it.
Out of trees, I guess.
Tree cows.
Well, that's not... well, this doesn't help the problem.
I think we're answering now how we're going to promote GMOs.
Yeah, I guess... You know... Want to wrap this one up?
We could probably go ahead and put a bow on this one.
All right. What do we usually do? We usually just, for about 10 minutes, beg them to listen and to subscribe.
So, quick recap of everything we went through here today.
You want to recap everything?
No, not everything.
All right.
So, have trust in the brand.
Have trust in the brand.
I have a dry cough.
He has a dry cough. I am perplexed by the way we're going to make money.
It's fair, but you don't have to worry about it.
And also, praise to the warrior class.
Praise to the warrior class.
Rise up and defeat our masters.
So, subscribe to us on iTunes.
And comment and rate and do all the other stuff, please.
Like, comment, and subscribe. Like the Facebook posts in which we posted this, even though you're not our friends.
Oh, we forgot to make a Twitter.
Oh, fuck. Let's make a Twitter.
Alright.
Follow us on Twitter.
At... If we can get it, if it's available.
So isolate that and put in whatever the actual address is. Anyway.
That's your editing.
Shit. So follow us on Twitter, like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes.
I think that covers it.
Subscribe on Podburner.
Feedburner?
Feedburner.
Feedburner can help you subscribe on iTunes.
Subscribe on Podcast Addict, whatever your app of choice is. Subscribe, listen, enjoy, and a brighter future awaits you.
Thank you, Fortune Cookie John.
Thank you, future.
Thank you, future.